Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
We live in a world of fees. Airlines, hotels, food delivery, and especially car dealers all charge excessive last-minute fees. When you want something badly enough, it feels like your only choice is to pay up. But what if you had a choice to take a stand instead? At Carvana, we believe in treating you better. With zero hidden fees, you can drive off without feeling ripped off. That's what it means to live feelessly with Carvana.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
And it's funny because there's one blip at the end of the movie that I am in, and as a result of that, I still get residuals. And every time I open up my residual check, I'm like, oh, be damn. Like, I didn't have to get my money back, and they're still paying me for a movie I essentially got cut out of, you know? Hello, everyone. Welcome back for a brand new episode of Collider Ladies Night. I am so excited to be sitting with Michelle Monaghan. How are you doing?
I am really well.
Just revisiting our past interview journeys.
At Dave & Buster's.
Everyone knows how much I love, like, games and stuff like that, so that junket made my day. And also, I haven't thought about the movie Gus in forever.
Yes.
And, you know, that time when we spoke, I was sitting there with, like, a little flip camera.
I love that movie, by the way.
She's a lunatic, and that baby's gonna be a lunatic.
I just don't understand why she has to live here.
That's just while she's pregnant. She's all alone.
I don't want her in the house anymore.
Listening to you guys argue really makes me question whether or not you can handle raising this kid.
I'm sorry, you're giving your baby to them? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, I really loved that that year, and I was surprised how much it really stuck with me. You know, when you go to those festivals, you see a million different things.
Exactly. Now, that was a really great experience. You know, Jesse McCormick wrote that, and it was one of the first times I'd worked with another female on screen that I had such great chemistry with, and the first of being really probably Malin Ackerman in The Heartbreak Kid, who ended up becoming one of my very best friends, who I love and adore. But Rhoda Mitchell, I got to work with her in this movie, Gus, and we just had the best time together. And I forgot. I was like, oh, wow, chicks can actually have chemistry, because you're always hearing about, oh, they have great chemistry. And it's always between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And there's nothing sexual about it, but it's just the idea that they have, like, a very nice, you know, they connecting as actors creatively. And But anyway, so I was just thinking about that movie yesterday. So it's weird it's weird that you're bringing it up.
I also think about the Heartbreak Kid all the time.
Oh, you do.
I think
that was a really fun movie.
I think it's such an underrated comedy. I feel like no one gives it and like Mullen is so
brilliant.
I can't get enough of it.
She's so brilliant. You know, a funny story about that, and I'm sure she and I have talked about it. But I initially had gone in to read for her role, and then the audition went really well, and then I think they called me up and they were like, there's an actress that came in for it. They really like her for the role. Would you be open to doing the other role? And I liked the role of – is it Miranda? Yeah, Miranda. Yeah, and I liked the role of Miranda a lot, ton, you know, whatever. And so that's the story behind that. It was, you know – it's funny how things work out, and then from the moment that we met, we clicked, and we've just been fast friends ever since.
So. Over the years, because I know this happens with some folks out there, do you find that you and Mullen are up for similar roles, or is there anyone out there that you find that happening with?
I don't think she and I are up for similar roles. I feel like she and I have different career paths, or we do things at different times. What is something – I remember one – Brokeback Mountain. I remember going in for that, and I think Michelle Williams ended up getting in the role. But I think I remember having read that, and I was shooting North Country at the time, and it was one of those things that, like, I had a day off, and I had a chance to go in for Brokeback Mountain. But I think that's what I can remember. I can't remember if I'm always up against, like, certain people. I actually make it a rule of thumb to – I never want to know – I don't ever ask. I don't ever want to know – who else I'm up against, because anytime I walk into the room, I'm just really honestly up against myself. So you really are, though. I mean, I honestly think that's a really healthy approach. I think we put so much pressure on ourselves as women in this industry. It's already hard enough. I think we inevitably get pitted against each other anyway. So I think if anything that we can do to actively control that, I think we should do, and I've always tried to do that, and I think it allows me to go in more relaxed and just thinking I'm the only one walking into the room.
Oh, I can imagine. It sounds like the much better approach.
Yeah.
So one of the cool things about your career is you've done a little of everything. You've been in every type of movie, every genre.
Yeah.
I'm curious, when you were first starting out, like when you had that dream of making it in Hollywood, what career path did you picture for yourself? Were you thinking, I'm going to be an action hero or
I've never had one, and I still don't have one. I think because I didn't actually really have this dream, this really clear dream of being an actor. I never set out to really do it. I studied journalism in college. I really wanted to be a journalist, much like yourself. And it wasn't until I was modeling, that's kind of how I got myself through school. I started doing commercials. They were paying the bills. I got an audition for this show called The Young Americans. And I didn't have an agent. And then so I was like, oh, well, I should get an agent because I've got this job. You know, and then one thing led to another, and then I thought, oh, maybe this is what I'm meant to do. And then, you know, you don't have, you know, the pick of the litter when you're starting out, really. I mean, you have to work hard and persevere. And for me, it was just I think more about proving to myself that this is what I wanted to do or what I was meant to do. And I think it was really only when I really felt like there were people in the industry that I was working with that were really giving me a lot of encouragement and a lot of support. I think it was like I had done a small role in Unfaithful, but I remember Richard Gere being just so incredibly supportive during that shoot and was like giving me thumbs up in between takes. And I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, I mean, that's amazing. Like, maybe I should do this. Like, Richard Gere just doesn't have to give me a thumbs up. You know, so it was like things like that. And then it was like, you know, I had an agent said, well, let's just try. I'm still with her today. Her name is Bonnie. And I think it was, you know, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was probably my biggest, like, was my big break when I really reflect upon it.
Harry Lockhart, are you going to recognize me or what? God, Embry, Indiana. Love snakes, afraid of spiders. Come on, remember show. Harold the Great.
Harmony?
You got me in half, remember?
Harmony's. Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
You know, I'd done a show, actually, called Boston Public. And I remember I'd gone in for a role. I didn't get it. But the creator, he wrote an arc for me on that show. And that was the first time that I had worked with multiple directors. And I remember, you know, J.J. Abrams had, was he, you know, people that I've worked with since then and stuff, you know, I started out with there, basically. And they were all giving me, you know, I'd never studied acting. So I learned on every single job. So for me, I don't think I actually had the liberty or the time to be like, oh, I want my career to be like this. I've always wanted my career to well, first of all, to be fun, right? Okay. But I didn't grow up watching movies either, okay? I'm giving you a really long answer.
No,
I
keep racking up follow-up questions, and I guarantee you I maybe remember one
of
them.
Oh, okay, that's okay, good. But it's sort of one of those things where I'm like, you don't know it until it hits you, right? So, you know, it was Boston Public. It was, wow, that was really great. That was drama. And then I had the opportunity to do Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And I was like, oh, I can be a little funny, you know? I was like, oh, well, that's great. And then that led to North Country or Heartbreak Kid. And so as long as I'm continually kind of striving to do different things with different people and, you know, really exploring all the genres, big and small, I can't tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. You know what I mean? It'll just be, I'll follow my gut instinct.
You're
probably
definitely doing just that.
Okay,
right?
Yeah,
now, it's
exactly. So,
wait, so you grew up not watching many movies.
No.
What was the movie that changed that for you?
Oh, my gosh. I would say Julia Roberts, Dolly Parton, Steel Magnolias. Thank you. I should have known I was supposed to be an actress then because my cousins, I have so many female cousins, every family get together. You know, one of us would be Sally Field, one of us would be Julia Roberts, one of us would be Daryl Hannah, you know, Olympia Dukakis, all of them. And we'd play that cemetery scene like, you know, I won't do it, but I want to. And sometimes I still do.
Shelby was right. This is a brown football.
Oh, honey, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine!
But that movie still to this day, it was so ahead of its time. There was such star power and like profound, like powerful women in that film. And it was heartfelt and there was a camaraderie and there was a sisterhood. Should we remake it? I don't know. Maybe.
I'm so sensitive
I know.
About that question. It's
yeah.
hard not to want more of
yeah.
what you love, but I'm always like,
yeah.
so precious. Don't touch
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's probably going to be announced tomorrow because it's out there in the universe now. But, you know, that was one of those things. And then I did plays in high school, mostly because I didn't do sports. I wasn't athletic. And I loved that. But, you know, I grew up in a town of 700 people, so you don't, like, you're very, I think you're limited maybe in the dreams that you somehow have. If you don't feel like that's just like it just didn't feel like a reality to me.
So how do you go from a small town to that first opportunity? Were you still living in that small town when you got that offer, the offer to audition for that show?
No, I was living in New York, but I'd gone to Chicago to to go to college. And in order to put myself through college to study journalism, I did catalog modeling. So I worked for Target and Montgomery Ward's, and I did all of the above. And I would work during the day, and then I'd take night classes at night. And I traveled, you know, during my semesters off. I modeled abroad and did all of that. And then I realized in my senior year, I was like, I don't want to be a journalist. I realized I was going to have to be a one-man band, go back to places like Iowa. And I'm like, no, man, I just got out of there. I like the city. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to throw caution to the wind and move to New York. I had a really overwhelming sense.
Why New York?
Because I could still model there.
Okay.
And because I really want, I modeled a little bit throughout the years in New York, and I loved that city. I loved the melting pot. I always had a sense of
And I still feel it when I go back there. Like, it's that one city that I've been to that I've obviously spent a lot of time and lived there for 12 years. But, like, you can come from anywhere, like any background, any socioeconomic background, anywhere in the world, and you have as equal of a shot as anybody else to make it. And I came from Timbuktu, a town from a farm girl from like 700 people, and I felt like I could make it there if I worked hard. I really did. And I always saw that in all the people that I knew, because I had such a wide range of friends there that came from all over the world, that I felt like I could live whatever potential I decided I wanted to be. And as I was modeling, I started doing commercials. I had good luck. I started doing, like, I did a Tampax commercial, a Secret deodorant commercial, you know. And then the audition came by, and I got it. And then I got my agent, and then that was it. So
speaking to my New York love and heart right now.
Yeah,
it's always like New York or L.A. So when I was reading up that you had gone the New York route,
yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
by that.
And I think it was good. I actually encourage people who are just starting out. I know a few young actors who are doing really well that are like, I don't know if I should move to L.A. I really like it in New York. I'm like, stay in New York. Like, I think, like, as you're kind of honing your skill, I think there's something nice about, you know, being in the industry but not being at such a young age, too, having to have the industry be around you 100% of the time. Like, I think there's so much to learn in New York, to be honest, that I think just that kind of exposure to everyday life and people there serves you probably better as an actor starting out than, you know, maybe being in the industry.
That makes me so happy. I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
Speaking of maybe young actors out there, one thing I think is always beneficial for someone else to hear is how someone in your position kind of gets over a bump in the road. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I was reading about is, what was it, like 2005, you had a couple movies where you were cut out of the movie.
Oh,
so I'm
yes.
curious at that point in your career, like, how do you deal with some, how do you first react and then get over something?
You know,
like that?
Honestly, the first reaction, because I was new to the industry, and it was true, I was in a movie called Constantine with Keanu Reeves and had a pretty significant role. And then it was like Francis Lawrence actually called. He was a gentleman. He wrote me a letter. He called. They felt terrible. They just had to remove the storyline for whatever reason. But for me, I honestly, my first reaction was, do I have to pay them back? Like, I actually thought I had to pay them back. Like, they're cutting you out of the movie. I thought I was going to be responsible for giving
you
back the money. And I was like, didn't have any money. I was, you know, and I was like, do I have to, like, I was like, because I don't have the money. And it's funny because there's one blip at the end of the movie that I am in. And as a result of that, I still get residuals. And every time, like, I open up my residual check, I'm like, oh, be damn. Like, I didn't have to get my money back, and they're still paying me for a movie I essentially got cut out of, you know?
Go to hell.
Holy water.
I think the first thing that you have to realize, and secondly, I got cut out of another movie called Syriana. But the great news about that was that I ended up getting a handwritten note from George Clooney. So now I've got that in my back pocket. But it was another thing about storyline, and I mentioned both of them because I think it's really important to understand. You have to take your ego out of it and really understand that if you're getting cut out of something, I can probably more often than not, it's a result of just too much storyline, too much narrative, too much content. It's not necessarily a reflection of the performance that you gave. So I think that's the first thing to always remember. It's like, you know, you're going to get cut, you know, scenes get cut down all the time. I shoot tons, and I think even Messiah or other projects, you know, there are certain scenes that ultimately just have to go for time purposes. So I think if you can just realize, like, that's just a rite of passage, getting cut out of something, it's at least you got that something. And that's another rite of passage. Do you know what I mean? And so
it's always, you got to kind of like stop and get past the knee-jerk reaction
and
then realize
there is
what
that
it really
moment
means.
Where it's like, oh my God, I told everybody it was going to be in a movie, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, like, you're not in that movie and you're like, oh God, that sucks, you know? But
look at you now. You got your note and you got
your
residual checks.
And I'll tell you what, the audition that I had for Constantine,
was a really good audition, and that tape made it into the hands of J.J. Abrams. And as a result of that, got me the role in MI3.
It was meant to be.
He was somebody said, Francis sent me your audition tape. I saw it. It was like a really fresh voice. I never saw you. I had you, and I went through, I auditioned with the casting director, and, Tom and I did an audition as well, and, I got the role. So everything happens for a reason,
I got to keep reminding myself that all the time, and it's worth it.
Yes, it is.
Do you remember the very first role you were flat out offered and kind of what that felt like?
Oh, gosh. Okay, wow. Just flat out didn't have to audition or anything?
The first time that happened.
Okay, that's a great question. And I can tell you, without even knowing what it was, it felt great. But I will say, let me see. North Country audition for Mission Impossible. Oh, no. I was going to say Maid of Honor, but I auditioned for that as well. It's maybe Source Code? Maybe somewhere around. Oh, Eagle Eye.
Rachel Holloman, look in the window. Would you risk your life for your son?
Who are you?
There's a car parked at the corner of this block. The keys are in the ignition. Start walking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Eagle Eye might have been the first one. That feels about right, actually.
I vividly remember seeing that movie in the IMAX theater, in the Lincoln Center Theater in New York.
Yeah, I would say that. But there's something that I have to say about that, because about getting a role that you haven't auditioned for, I really, as sort of nerve-wracking the audition process can be, I actually really embrace it. And because it's an opportunity to prove to myself that I am right for the role. So I like the idea of going in and reading and collaborating with the director, the writer, whoever, the casting director. And then if you get the job, you're like, wow, my instincts were right. Okay, that's great. That's a great – I'm going to keep going on that, that path. And then, every day I get to work like that. And that's a real privilege of knowing when you rock up on the first day, you're like, okay, they really do want me here. Whereas if you're offered jobs now, and fortunately now I'm in that position, which is great, but there is always that element of me, like I've done all that prep work typically for the most part on my own and still collaborating with the director or writer, but they haven't actually seen my work. Or my interpretation until we're in front of the camera. So there's that element of like, maybe they won't, maybe what their idea is different than what my idea is. So I like going in and kind of earning, I don't mind auditioning and kind of earning that.
I like that take on it because it makes a lot of sense. The roles that you've sought out for yourself changed over the years, and why Messiah right now?
I don't think the roles have sought out. I think that the roles that have sought me out are maybe different. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm always looking for. I like strong women. Obviously, I mean, I'm surrounded by them. I really veer. I hate to use the word flawed women anymore because I think we're just human, and we don't refer to men as being flawed on camera. You're like, oh, wow, you play a really flawed man. You're like, no, they just play a human being, like a man. And like a woman, like if she's doing things that are, questionable, it's like, well, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. So I guess there's that element of that. Like I just really feel like I like to play – relatable people that are, I'm talking about specifically drama here, obviously. Not that women in comedy aren't relatable either, but I think you get the picture. So it's an element. I never really know what it's going to be or how a character is going to find me. And, it's also, I'm very aware that, the stars align in which, a particular project gets dropped in your lap. I just recently worked with Zoe Lister-Jones.
I'm not going to be able to hold back from talking
about
that.
Yeah, I know, and we'll get there. But, like, just for that, it's like if you would have told me a year ago, you're going to do a remake of The Craft, I would have been like, I don't think so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to navigate, look at a crystal ball and tell you what I'm going to do. But, here is Zoe Lister-Jones, who I respect immensely. I think she's got a really strong voice right now in the industry. she reimagined it, and it was like, I read it and I was like, oh, well, yes, I'm absolutely doing a remake of The Craft. And it's funny when I say that to some people, people are like, okay, you know, you're doing it right there. But she's brilliant. It's super contemporary and timely, and she's been very smart about it. And so I'm excited. So in terms of Messiah, I'll answer your question now because I went off on
you
a tangent. I do that. I think for me, you know, I had just come off the path. I wasn't anticipating going back to work that early. But I was open to reading it. I know James McTeague, one of our directors, and Michael Petroni sent me all 10 episodes. And, you know, I read them within, you know, a day, half a day. I mean, it was just such a great page turner. And I think by the time I finished it, I think the first thing I did was, like, I called my husband and I was like, so that time that I said I was going to take off, I don't think it's happening. You know, that thing that was just sent to me, it's so good. And I think what struck me about it was just the global scope of it. And that really excited me because I had never been involved in a project that I thought could potentially reach so many people in such a productive way, in a really thoughtful way, in a provocative way. And that the series, in terms of what it deals with and talks about in your belief systems and what you project and you reflect upon the world, inhabited so many different points of view and cultures and perspectives, and it wasn't just a specific Western point of view. There's a sense of, like, pride that I have with that. I'm like, that's an important show to make, you know. And to have the home be Netflix, where it's in 190 countries, was really exciting. And on top of all of the characters, you know, which I've responded to, you know, I loved this role that Michael created of this woman who felt like a very real woman who has this really uncompromising professional life. And yet she lives a very insular existence and is suffering quietly. And I was really excited about to get, you know, to peel back the onion on that and explore her.
He's come out of nowhere and we don't know who he is.
What do we know about him?
He's leading desperate people.
So this is a cult?
We don't know who he's associated with. He could be creating an army. Or he could be leading them to their death.
Show is mm-hmm. so interesting too, because it's all about, like, who is this guy? And I love the fact that we don't really get anything from his perspective.
Yes.
It's just everybody around him, and it kind of
so brilliant.
You know, makes the audience play along in a sense too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's so great. You just nailed it. It feels very participatory as an audience. Like, it forces you to look at yourself and your own life experience and your own belief system, and then you get to make the choice. And that's why I'm also really encouraging, because he doesn't call himself a divine entity or that or a, you know, he doesn't call himself anything. He just exists to be there, and really is a mirror to yourself. And I encourage people to watch it with a group of people, because it's not a singular viewing experience, because you really want to dissect each episode as you watch it, I find. And I find that, you know, kind of the connective tissue of the show is that all the characters are searching, much like we all are, right? We're all looking for hope or the truth or salvation or actual freedom, you know, physical freedom is some of the characters in the show. And so you're going to connect with one of those characters depending on where you are in the world, and you're going to go on that journey with them for 10 episodes, and that person's actions and the way that they perceive it, your opinions and your perceptions of them will change as you go on that journey with them.
So watch it with a group. And then would you also recommend doing the binge watch or taking the time to watch one and sit with it?
No, it's interesting that you say that, because I think if you can watch a few, you know what I mean, and then sit and then like literally have an honest conversation about it. Because my husband and I watched it. He had no idea what to expect. I didn't tell him anything about the show for like a year. And he was like, whoa, this is unbelievable. And he had different takeaways than I did. And I had different takeaways even from when I had read it. So even as someone who knew what was going on, you know, getting to see the performances of my co-stars and seeing how powerful they are. They're all so incredible in the show. That it got me so excited. I was like, no, we need to sit down and talk about this. And about a week later, like, we were still talking about it after we binged it. So
it's a conversation starter.
It
I'm
is.
I'm not even all the way through because I didn't dare walk in this room for this interview knowing the end because I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone,
that's true. That's good.
It was very tempting to just burn through all of them.
Yes.
I have to go back to the craft right now, especially because we're talking for Collider Ladies Night right now. And on that one, you get to work with a whole group of just like powerhouse ladies in Hollywood. And it excites me so much. So can you describe the atmosphere on set and how that felt?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a terrific group of young actresses. You know, Zoe Lister-Jones, of course, her DP, who she always works with. We have a female producer. It was just a really, like, female production. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was really just, it was, you know, it's the craft. So you know what it's about. And, they, you know, we had witches coming in and saging the place and doing seances and Ouija board and all that stuff, you know. And I'm a little bit of that gal, you know, who likes all the... Well, I don't know if I believe in, like, it all, but there was definitely... There was some witchiness going on, and it was so fabulous. Because when else are you going to get away with doing that?
It's like, I love that kind
and that
of
was
stuff.
Work, you know? It was work. So, and Zoe's just really smart. And it was just a great time being on that set.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Spooky, but also really like timely and relevant, you know, in terms of what it's about and how she reimagined it. So it's Blumhouse, and I've been wanting to work with Jason for a while now. So it was great to finally get to collaborate with
him. He's a favorite.
Him. Yeah.
So would you describe it as a remake or a reimagining?
I would say reimagining.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm digging that.
Yeah.
I'm just a massive fan of that original, so I'm so excited.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's
Haley's
so
one of my
good.
Favorite, you know, up-and-comers out there.
Which I won't share.
I'm so excited. They told me I have the wrap-up sign going now. So
really?
We always like to,
wow.
to end. I know.
That was so fast.
That's what happens when I write all these out, and then I don't look at them, and
I'm like,
I'm out of time, and I forgot so many of them. But we do like to end with some rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
Just some, like, totally random things that we call Collider Random questions, but they're fun. What are you watching on TV right now?
The Crown.
Okay.
Oh, Olivia Colman. Oh,
good
geez.
Call right there.
Oh.
What's your favorite movie of 2019?
Oh, gosh, Booksmart.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
What role of yours would you like to revisit?
Oh, Harmony Faith Lane from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's there needs to be a sequel there. Yeah, that would be a fun one.
Do you have any pets?
I do. I have an Angora bunny named Bubbles.
Oh, my God. My heart's melting right now. Last one for you. What is the most impulsive thing you've done recently?
Oh, gosh. Impulsive thing that I've done recently. I don't even know how to... I have no idea how to answer that. I can't think of anything that I've done impulsive.
Or what is your biggest fear overcome
recently? Christmas shopping. That's been impulsive. Like, because I'm just trying to get it done. So it's it's just buying. It's, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, just get it done. Just get it done.
I feel like that's a very appropriate impulsive thing to be doing.
Oh, I know, but it's not well thought out, and it's just not financially sound. So it's not like, you know what I mean?
It's the holidays. Everyone appreciates everything. We'll all celebrate it. Thank you so much for your time today. Everybody out there.
That was too fast.
Yeah, I know, really? Have another half hour. Messiah available on Netflix. First thing in 2020, January 1st, check it out. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you
for watching this episode. Don't leave without liking and sharing it, and we'll see you soon with more Ladies Night.
Stay little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect start to set any holiday vibe. The Home Bar makes over 30 cocktails, brews, ciders, and more, all at the push of a button. From cosmopolitans to old fashions, each pod contains real ingredients and premium spirits. Insert the pod and let the Home Bar do the work. Go to DrinkWorks.com to order your Home Bar and see all available drinks. DrinkWorks, press play. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain, Inc., used under license. Please enjoy responsibly.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.